So there's a poll number that's come out, and it's not a good poll number for a guy by the name of Joe Biden. Oh, no. And then when that poll came out, there was another poll that came out right after that, and it makes things look even worse for Joe Biden. Now, let me give you these two poll numbers. Now, these are numbers, just so you know, that are numbers that the left would not want you to know. Let me give you poll number one. Gallup poll has come out saying that Joe Biden has now registered his lowest approval rating of his presidency because many believe that he's just not coherent, not in charge, not doing enough on inflation, not doing enough on the economy, not doing enough on the Delta variant. President Joe Biden's approval rating is now at the lowest point of his presidency, according to this new Gallup poll. The poll taken from July the 6th through the 21st shows that Biden had a 50% approval rating, down 6 points in just 1 month. Why? I'll tell you exactly why. Biden is now facing real questions about his cognitive behavior on top of his policies, and Americans are experiencing growing inflation. The country also faces growing fears about the Delta variant of the coronavirus spreading across the country, as the president lied this past week on CNN, saying that if you get the vaccine, you won't get infected. That's a lie. In fact, members of his own staff who have actually gotten the COVID-19 vaccine have gotten COVID-19. Now, let me be clear. What we're finding out about this COVID vaccine is it's more like a flu shot. The good news is, if you get it, there's a very good chance that your effects and the side effects, if you do get COVID-19, will be significantly minimalized compared to those who don't get the COVID shot. I think it's a personal decision, but I think it's a decision that should not be a political one. I think you could make the best decision for you, and you should talk to your doctor and medical experts, and not people that are talking about it politically. It's the reason why I have said over and over again that I got the COVID vaccine, and I'll explain why. I got it because my dad almost died of COVID-19. He did not have the vaccine at the time. We as a country did not have the vaccine at the time he got COVID. I want to make that clear. But then after seeing a healthy man almost die and be in the hospital for 2 weeks and then be on oxygen for months, and what it did to him, knowing I had the same DNA, there was no doubt I was going to get the COVID vaccine. I also had asthma, or have asthma, I should say. And so you combine those two, and after speaking with multiple doctors who I trust, I got the vaccine. I got the Pfizer vaccine. It worked well for me. Now, not all my family members have gotten the vaccine. I want to respect other people's opinions. But I'll say it over and over again. It should not be a political decision based on who's talking on TV. One of the reasons why Biden is now facing questions about his policies is because he's made the shot almost like a mandatory shot that the government is slamming down your throats. That's not a way to get people to want to go get a vaccine. People will dig in. That's the worst strategy you could possibly have if you truly believe you're saving people's lives, is to keep throwing it and forcing them into a corner to make a decision. Yes, the country is facing the fears of the Delta variant, which is real, which is growing. Yes, it's spreading across the country. Yes, it's 2,000 more times more contagious than the original COVID-19 that we dealt with in this country. Yes, we are seeing infections of vaccinated Americans. Now, this is why people are not buying into the Biden crap anymore. Let's also remember the president is also yet to deliver on a bipartisan infrastructure deal. Negotiations between Republicans and Democrats are continuing in the Senate, but they basically are refusing to work with Republicans. Other issues of concern include the growing number of migrants crossing the southern border, as it is a wide open border, crime out of control, not backing the police. The list goes on and on and on. It is a significant list. I want to make that very clear. There are people that are genuinely concerned about the future of this country and where we are going. Now, there's also just the other part here, and that's the cognitive part of this president. What is he talking about? How do you trust a guy after he goes on this town hall at CNN, this communist Chinese news network CNN, allowed him to spread conspiracy theories and promote domestic violence? Didn't even deliver a ratings win either with having Joe Biden on the liberal network. It was a disaster from beginning to end. And they allowed Joe Biden to go on stage and lie. Now, the rest of the world saw this babbling idiot, including in Australia. Sky News came out with a commentary in Australia about America's president. And I want you to hear what Sky News actually said about this president of the United States of America, which they said was an embarrassment to the free world, an embarrassment to the free world, an embarrassment to democracy. It also made it clear that people could see that Joe Biden is weak. Joe Biden is very weak as a president. Take a listen to what they said in Australia about our president, as their headline was, quote, Joe Biden blunders his way during a town hall. They mocked Biden's gaffes, and this is what we should be saying in America, but they're saying it in Australia instead.
Listen to this. You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
That's not true. But the bloke's unchallenged. And then this incoherent rambling about men on the moon and aliens. Listen to this embarrassing diatribe.
You got the vaccination?
Yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, you seem, no, it works. Or you know, or the mom and dad. Or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're, I really mean it. There are trusted interlocutors. Think of the people, if your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon, or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not, you know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it?
What? Man on the moon, something. What the hell has this got to do about anything? This is a town hall meeting. The bloke's unchallenged and he's rambling. Listen to this. He actually tries to explain what the question is and then makes an appalling mess of answering his own question.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact... it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Yeah. Oh, for God's sake. This virus is, in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs are temporarily approved, but permanently approved. I mean, listen to this again. The President of the United States at a town hall meeting, and someone doesn't say, get off the stage, you're embarrassing the free world and obscuring the coronavirus message. Listen to this.
We know that this virus is, in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Yeah. Wow. That is your president of the United States of America. And as Sky News put it, they said he is embarrassing the free world. Now, you look at what Joe Biden just said, and then you look at the numbers. You want to know why they're dropping like a rock for him? You want to know as his approval rating is at the all-time low? You want to know why there's another poll out that is even worse, and it's about optimism in this country? America's optimism about the country's direction over the next year dropped by nearly 20 points since May. The American people are starting to realize that Joe Biden is not in charge, that Joe Biden is not coherent, that Joe Biden is a liability to this country. I'll give you another example of how people are starting to wake up and realize what's going on in this country from the left. Another poll is out. This poll significant. More voters now want Congress to investigate Black Lives Matter riots that wrecked cities nationwide than the January 6th riot. And that's what it was. Now, of course, we want to use bigger words like insurrection, and the left wants you to believe that it's worse than 9/11. That's what they've said. I'm not putting words in their mouth. We've condemned what happened on January the 6th, and we've hunted down everybody we can possibly find, spent countless millions. The complete opposite of what we've done with Black Lives Matter and the number of government buildings they attacked and burned and police stations they attacked and burned and people that actually died during the Black Lives Matter riots and looting and arson and attacks. So what do the people say? Let me give you those numbers. More voters say they want Congress to investigate the violent summer 2020 Black Lives Matter riots and the January 6th riots, according to the new Rasmussen National poll released this week. At least 66% of voters think Congress should investigate last year's violent protests in which more than 2,000 police officers suffered injuries in the line of duty, compared to only 49% of voters who support House Speaker Pelosi's subcommittee investigation of the January the 6th Capitol riots. Now, if you look at the 49%, it's funny, that's literally the exact approval rating of Joe Biden. So it's 100% political hackery, the people that want to investigate January the 6th. After more than 6 months, House Democrats established a committee to investigate the January 6th riots in which one person died after being shot by a Capitol Police officer, and that person still hasn't been named, the officer, that is, and was not charged with a crime of killing an unarmed woman. Why? Because it's okay if you're wearing a Trump T-shirt. The committee has been criticized for being a purely partisan exercise, which that's exactly what it is. In contrast, no committee has been established to investigate at least 574 Black Lives Matter protests that involved acts of violence, including assault on police officers, looting, arson, and the assault on government buildings and courthouses. Majorities of every racial group and political affiliation support a congressional investigation of last year's violent protests, according to the new poll. Only 21% of voters do not think Congress should investigate last year's protests, and 13% are not sure. 67% of white, 64% of black voters, and 66% of Hispanics, and 62% of other minorities support a congressional investigation. Did you hear those numbers? Now, let's talk about why these numbers are so high among African-American voters. Because it was their communities that were burned down. It was their stores that were burned down. It was their neighborhoods that were set on fire. It was their grocery stores that were looted. It was their auto parts stores that were looted. It was their gas stations that were looted. It was their convenience stores that were looted and burned to the ground. That is the reason why 64% of African-American voters are actually saying they want Black Lives Matter to be investigated by Congress and what happened this summer. Now, let's talk about the 66% of Hispanics. It's the same reason. Because it was their neighborhoods that were torched as well. Why is there another 62% of other minorities that now support a congressional investigation? Because it was their neighborhoods that were looted and terrorized. It was their police stations and their neighborhoods that were looted and terrorized. That's what people need to understand. This was total anarchy, and it was out of control, and local elected officials did not try to stop it, did not try to fix it. That is a problem. And now people are afraid for their lives. Why do you think gun ownership and gun buying has skyrocketed and gone through the roof? I'll tell you exactly right. I'll tell you exactly why. It is because people don't feel safe. Another headline from Yahoo News, One Nation Under Fire. A week's glance at the gun violence ripping across America. Thousands of fans gathered in Wisconsin to celebrate the Milwaukee Bucks NBA championship. But scenes of celebration soon turned into chaos when gunfire rang out. Two shootings broke out early Wednesday in downtown Milwaukee that wounded three, sent people running for their lives and left the community shell-shocked. The shootings are only a snapshot of the skyrocketing violence that swept the nation in recent months in cities where specifically they've defunded the police. Between Saturday, July 17th and Friday, July 23rd, the Gun Violence Archive tracked at least 915 shooting incidents, or a shooting every 12 minutes in America, that left at least 430 people dead, and more than 1,000 people wounded in total. More than 1,000 were wounded or killed this week alone. I'm talking about this week we're in right now. These numbers are not a just random number we should be throwing out there and overlooking. These numbers are actually constantly updated when the data comes in. Now, why is this happening? It's happening in places that are defunding the police and a place in places where they've attacked the police, where Black Lives Matter said, blank the police. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them now? Pigs in a blanket. Fry them like bacon. What did Black Lives Matter chant out in California? They actually chanted death to America. Last year marked the deadliest year for shooting related incidents in the U.S. in at least two decades because of anti-police rhetoric and Black Lives Matter anarchy. According to Gun Violence Archive data, more than 63,000 gun deaths, 43,000 gun deaths in America. 2021 is on track to surpass those figures by more than 24,000 gun fatalities that have been reported so far. So there, we're going to blow, no pun intended, last year's number out of the water. But remember, it's all about defund the police, right? And when you defund the police and you don't have law and order and you have anarchy, what did you think was going to happen? That's the simple question. What did everybody think was going to happen? What did you really think was going to happen? What did everybody think was going to happen? If you had total anarchy, did you think people weren't going to go crazy? When you have total chaos and total anarchy, did you think that people, and I'm serious, did you really think that if you got rid of the police, that those that commit crimes were going to disappear? Of course that's not going to happen. It's going to be the total opposite of that. I mean, this is what happens when you elect woke people. This is what happens when you elect people that go socialism and go communists. This is what happens. You've got three polls, and it only took him 6 months to lose all of the woke support that Joe Biden had. And I will argue that next month these numbers will go even lower. When 20% of Americans in 3 months, 20% of Americans in 3 months say, screw it, we're done, we're out of here. What did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? You get rid of law and order, and at some point people realize it doesn't work. When you get rid of law and order, at some point people are going to go, yep, this was a bad idea. Yep, this was stupid. Yep, we should not have done this. When people don't feel safe, they're going to run out and go buy firearms to protect and defend themselves, because when the police aren't around, and it's not the fault of the police, it is not the fault of the police. They are being undermined, dehumanized, not even respected. They are being attacked by the neighborhoods they're trying to protect. And when you do that, as the left has done, and when you turn them into public enemy number one, it allows for gangs and cartels and just basic criminals to do whatever the hell they want to do. It allows them to do whatever it is that they want to do. Joe Biden did this town hall at CNN. Many people didn't watch it. In fact, this big town hall had fewer people watching it with the President of the United States of America on stage than a normal average show on Fox News Channel. In other words, the ratings were dismal. A lot of people did not see what was clearly a real problem, the cognitive decline of the President of the United States of America. Joe Biden, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but the reality is this man is getting lost. The decline is getting worse week by week, month by month, certainly year by year when you compare him to a year ago, to 2 years ago, to 3 years ago in speeches. Ronnie Jackson says it's clearly time for a cognitive test of the President of the United States of America. Now, if you remember, there was a lot of reporters and a lot of physicians that came out demanding that Donald Trump take a cognitive test, which he aced when he was the president. It was their way of slandering Donald Trump, acting like he was unhinged or shouldn't have the nuclear codes. It was a way to undermine him. I don't want to do that because I don't think it's fair to do that to an elected official. Now, the White House has not responded for a request for comment, as yet again another physician, someone that has treated two different presidents and two different parties, has come out and saying it is very clear that something is not right with Joe Biden. Now, doctors last year who reviewed Biden's medical history and current state said he was in good health. That's what they said. But you look at Biden's cognitive decline on stage, and it's very obvious that something is not right. That's what the doctors are now saying. Others have said, well, it's age discrimination. You can't age discriminate the president of the United States of America. Of course, he's getting older. But what he's saying on stage, I don't think is an issue of him getting older. It's an issue of something being wrong. Now, Jackson, as I said, is the former Navy admiral. Began working as the White House physician in the mid-2000s. In 2013, President Barack Obama named him as his top physician. And Jackson remained largely nonpartisan in the role, according to a former Obama staffer. Obama even promoted him to admiral. Then Jackson held the same role in Trump's presidency. He became more politically outspoken after the president was being attacked. And Jackson, who is now an elected member of Congress, has said after watching the president on stage, it is very clear that a cognitive screening test is needed for the president of the United States of America. He said, actually, on Hannity's show, that he wonders now who's running the country. He believes it's no longer a guy by the name of Joe Biden, that other people are pulling the strings. Take a listen to first Joe Biden on stage. And this is happening on a regular basis. What you're about to hear is pretty much become the new norm. Even Don Lemon on stage had no idea what the hell the president was talking about. He was getting lost. He was all over the place and making up lies and things that weren't true. Things that everybody knows was a lie. Lies that he was saying that just didn't even make sense to say. One of those lies, he said, was that we're already vaccinating people under the age of 12. That's not true. He also said on stage another lie, that if you get the vaccine, you're not going to get sick, you're not going to die, you're not even going to get COVID. Well, we know that's a lie. Even people in the White House, Biden staff members, have gotten COVID after getting the COVID vaccine. Take a listen to Joe Biden in his own words on stage, and you tell me that if this was your dad or your grandparent, you wouldn't immediately say, we got to take him to doctor and see what's going on.
Underway, just like the other question that's illogical, and I've heard you speak about it because you always, I'm not being solicitous, but you're always straight up about what you're doing. And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be. We know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved. Yeah. That's underway, too. I expect that to occur quickly.
Well, that means you mean for the FDA?
For the FDA. Yeah. That's underway, just like the other question that's illogical.
Now, it's very clear that even Don Lemon on stage couldn't follow where Joe Biden was going. In fact, I would argue that Joe Biden couldn't even follow where he was going. And anyone that was watching this was not thinking to themselves, oh man, Biden's really selling America on certain issues. I think you're just crossing your fingers if you were at the White House going, please just make it through the night and then we can put you back into hiding. He's not making sense on a regular basis. The things he's saying do not make sense on a regular basis, which brings me to exactly what Ronny Jackson was saying on Hannity's show. He's treated two presidents. He was looked at as a leader by Obama and Trump, and he now says there is something wrong and we need a cognitive test. And who is running this White House? Who is running the country? Because in his words, it's clearly not this guy. Take a listen.
Former White House physician, Texas Congressman Ronny Jackson, along with former senior advisor to President Trump, Stephen Miller. Well, you were the medical doctor, Ronny Jackson, for two presidents, President Trump and President Obama. We have aired tape from 2012, 2016, and 2020 of Joe Biden, and now today. Donald Trump took a cognitive test. He got 30 out of 30 right. I hear it's a very difficult test. I do not think Joe Biden would do well on that test. Is that a fair assessment based on what I'm observing?
Absolutely, Sean. And I've been saying this from the very beginning. I've been saying that something's going on here. I was saying this when he was candidate Joe Biden. And I've been saying that it's only going to get worse. And guess what? We're watching that happen right before our eyes right now. And I'm at the point right now where, you know, I went from, you know, telling people we should be concerned about what might potentially be going on to now saying, hey, what is happening right now? Where are the the people in our academic medicine that were out there calling for President Trump to have a cognitive test. Where are these people? There's something seriously going on with this man right now. And, you know, I think that he's either going to resign. They're going to convince him to resign from office at some point in the near future for medical issues, or they're going to have to use the 25th Amendment to get rid of this man right now. There's some serious stuff going on right now. And if they do that, it'll be the president's cabinet that initiates that. And if you got to imagine, if you're a cabinet member right now, if you're the president's Secretary of Defense or Secretary of Treasury or his attorney general, you have to be looking at him right now and thinking to yourself, like, what is going on? Can I take direction from this man right now? And I think that's going to start happening pretty soon. I think there's going to be some serious pushback from the White House and from the left to do something about what's going on. Because you mentioned in your opening, this is a national security issue at this point, Sean. It really is.
One of the main issues that Ronny Jackson, this doctor who has treated two different presidents, is making is this is a national issue, or excuse me, an international issue. This is an issue of our adversaries and our enemies looking at this man and saying, we have an opportunity now to do things because this guy, we believe, is not going to stop us. And I think they believe that he's not really running the country either. If you don't think this is an international issue, let me give you another example of how the world is now looking at our president. Sky News, which is out of Australia, their headline on their main TV show was this: concerns over government control in the United States of America. I'm going to play for you part of what they were saying in Australia on Sky News in Australia about Joe Biden. Take a listen.
Well, enter again into this field the cognitively declining president of the United States. This bloke continues to get a saloon passage, a free run. His incoherence is unchallenged. Here he is talking to a CNN town hall meeting. Now, of course, CNN are mouthpieces for Biden. And you'll see here another example of embarrassing, stumbling incoherence. He's asked, what's your message to parents and educators about kids returning to school when kids under 12 are not yet vaccinated? Listen to the President of the United States.
Everyone over the age of, under the age of 12 should probably be wearing a mask in school. That's probably what's going to happen. Secondly, those over the age of 12 who are able to get vaccinated, if you're vaccinated, you shouldn't wear a mask. If you aren't vaccinated, you should be wearing a mask.
Well, the WHO and UNICEF have guidelines on wearing masks. Quote, children aged 5 years and under should not be required to wear masks. This is based, they say, on the safety and overall interests of the child and the capacity to appropriately use a mask with minimal assistance. The guidelines go further. For children aged 6 to 11, masks are recommended in classrooms only if the school is located in a locality where there is widespread transmission and only after consultation with parents and weighing the impacts on learning and psychosocial development. What's the president saying? Everyone under the age of 12 should be wearing a mask. That's not what UNICEF or the WHO are saying, and not a word about consulting with parents or the impact on learning and psychosocial development. Who is fact-checking the president of the United States?
Now, I remind you, what you just heard is commentary being seen in Australia by Sky News. They are concerned about the leader of the world, the United States of America, because even Australia realizes it's important for the America to have a strong leader. Certainly someone who's like Joe Biden is not a good thing, because Australia needs a strong America. Australia knows, with China right around the corner, that they need our ally to be strong. They are very concerned about the cognitive decline of Joe Biden. That's why they're talking about it on Sky News in Australia. Their headline, another headline, I'll give you an example in Australia, read this: Joe Biden has been taken out of circulation after rambling at a CNN town hall. In other words, there's no way that you can watch this, much less a world leader, much less an ally, much less even Sky News. And they're actually being more intellectually honest about the decline of the president of the United States of America than our own media is. Now, the president also lied, and one of the questions you heard there is, who's fact-checking the president? Because I don't think that the president's actually willfully lying on all this. I think he really just doesn't know. One of the things that he said, and CNN let him get away with it, was he said, and there was this claim, if you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. That's a lie. And the world, by the way, listens to the President of the United States of America. So when the president says that, the world is listening. And he's lying not just to Americans, he's lying to the world. He also went on to say, you're not going to be in the ICU unit. That's also a lie, which means fewer people around the world are going to listen to this president when he speaks. And you're not going to die. All of that is a lie. Even CNN, which did not fact check him on stage, was forced after being ridiculed in this country that this is false. They put out a Instagram post that said this is false and said COVID-19 vaccines are highly effective and they sharply reduce the likelihood of infection, serious illness, and death. However, they do not guarantee that people will not get the virus or will not be hospitalized or die. Even vaccinated people on Biden's own staff have been infected. Now, you can throw that out there in a statement to cover your AWS, but the damage was already done because the world heard it. And no one on stage, no one at CNN in real time, when they clearly knew what he was saying was not accurate, challenged the President of the United States of America on that point, which is exactly what Sky News also said. Take a listen.
Vaccinated people are testing positive. The vaccination, as I have said, limits the likelihood of people going into hospital if they catch the virus. That's not what the president has said. Listen to this.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah. Now, right there, you hear Don Lemon say, yeah. Don Lemon should have immediately said, well, with all due respect, Mr. President, that's not true. There are countless cases now of people that are testing positive for COVID. Some Democratic lawmakers that just met with your staff, met with the vice president, met with your chief of staff, who exposed them, who were vaccinated. People in your own building have been vaccinated and come down with COVID-19. But instead, CNN willfully pushes this propaganda to try to prop up a president that clearly is just making things up as he goes. Not, I don't even think, because he's trying to lie to you. I think it's just because he doesn't know the facts. He forgets. He can't remember things. There's a clear cognitive issue here. Now, of course, CNN just says, yeah, you just heard Don Lemon say, yeah, saying yes, giving support to a lie.
But the bloke's unchallenged. And then this incoherent rambling about men on the moon and aliens. Listen to this embarrassing diatribe.
You got the vaccination?
Yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, you seem, no, it works. Or, you know, or the mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're, you know, no, I really mean it. There are trusted interlocutors. Think of the people, if your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not, you know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it?
None of what you just heard made any sense. None of that was edited. That was all raw audio from the CNN town hall. And you could see on the face of Don Lemon, it was like, oh, crap, what the hell is he doing? What is he talking about? And the rest of the world is seeing this, and they know something's wrong, and they're being intellectually honest about it, which is exactly why Sky News did this entire segment with the headline, Joe Biden blunders during town hall. Joe Biden has been taken out of circulation after rambling. I mean, these are their headlines, folks. I mean, this CNN town hall was filled with blunders, including incoherent ramblings about men on the moon and aliens. And the world sees it. And the reason why the world is now reporting on these blunders is because I think they are so concerned that the leader of the free world and the leader of free nations is clearly incapacitated to the point where they're now just saying, this is a terrible thing for this world. Not for just America, for the world and for our leadership. And they're afraid, they're very concerned that people are now going to start taking advantage of America and by default the world because they see that this president cannot handle what's happening and what's going on right now. Now, Sky News dedicated an entire 7 minutes to the blunders of Joe Biden at the town hall for one reason, to show just how bad it is. And they kept using the same examples that I was going to use. But I think it's more powerful to realize that literally the other side of the world, this is what they're seeing too.
Blake's unchallenged in his rambling. Listen to this. He actually tries to explain what the question is and then makes an appalling mess of answering his own question.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be? We know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved but permanently approved.
Yeah. Oh, for God's sake! This virus is in fact it's going to be. We know why all the drugs are temporarily approved but permanently approved. I mean, listen to this again. The President of the United States at a town hall meeting, and someone doesn't say, get off the stage. You're embarrassing the free world and obscuring the coronavirus message. Listen to this.
We know that this virus is, in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Yeah. If the President of the United States of America is being questioned, and the way that he's being questioned by people around the world who are our friends and allies, imagine what our enemies are thinking at this point. Now, Sky News was not done with our president, the leader of the free world, and you can hear that their big concern is that this is the leader of the free world. This is the guy that's in charge and supposed to lead the way on fighting terrorism and standing up to China and to standing up to these Al-Qaeda and ISIS and everybody else that wants to screw with America, Russia, for example. Cuba, Venezuela, the list goes on and on, because Russia understands they're not the leader of the world. America is. And they're seeing their ally do these things, and now they're too concerned to the point where they're just flat out doing this on national TV in their country. And then there is the other part. When the President of the United States of America speaks, the world listens, our allies listen. And when the President of the United States of America lies about a world issue, which is the COVID-19 vaccine, then people lose faith in America. And don't forget, we're the ones that came up with this vaccine. So if the president's lying to you about the vaccine, are you going to take the vaccine? And we know that this is a world problem. We want people to get vaccinated around the world, because then when they travel to America and we saw how Wuhan virus spread initially, we are in a global world economy and these diseases make their way everywhere in the world. And that was the point that Sky News ended with.
Transparent untruth. He was asked by a questioner, genuinely concerned, if you get COVID having been vaccinated, can you get COVID? This is what he said.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
How dangerous is this? This is going on in the world. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. This bloke has to be taken out of circulation. I repeat, get the vaccination. You may still test positive, as many have, but the vaccine has a significant impact on limiting the chance of you going into hospital. This bloke, Joe Biden, belongs in a home, and that home is not the White House.
It's interesting that in Australia they'll say this, but in America they won't. Right? Our media would never say something like this. This man, as he said, deserves to be in a home. And not the White House. Now, of course, they would say this if it was Donald Trump. Remember, Donald Trump had to have a cognitive test. Don't forget that. Donald Trump had to have that cognitive test. And Joe Biden hasn't just been blundering right now. Joe Biden, we warned you about Joe Biden's blunders when he was running for president. He was blundering all over the place, but the media protected him, and the media made sure that you never heard any of the big blunders, and they overlooked them, and they didn't ask questions when he was running.
Look, here's the deal. Here's the deal.
We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. Truth over facts.
Remember that? This is all from the campaign, folks. All from
just like in my generation, when I got out of school, that when Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King had been assassinated in the 70s, late 70s.
That's not true, by the way. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in 1963. Wrong decade, but does it matter?
Got engaged.
Yeah, that math doesn't add up.
I watched what happened when the kids from Parkland marched up to, and I met with them, and then they went off to up on the hill when I was vice president. They went off the hill.
We'll make sure it's not quality. We'll make sure it's only affordable.
make sure it's not quality, only affordable healthcare?
Quality is affordable. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
That's kind of racist, isn't it? What are you saying, bud? What are you saying?
Well, yesterday you said you accepted Bernie's apology, and now you're attacking him. Why are you doing that? Why wasn't his apology enough, Mr. Vice President? Why attack Sanders?
Why? You're getting nervous, man. Calm down. It's okay. He apologized for saying that I was corrupt. He didn't say anything about whether or not I was telling the truth about Social Security.
By the way, that made no sense either. And everybody was like, wait, what are you saying? It was not about Social Security. He then pushes on the chest of the reporter. No one said anything about that, right? No one said anything about him pushing at that reporter because Joe Biden get away with this, of course. During the Democratic presidential debate on MSNBC, remember this?
The Too movement has forced a cultural reckoning around the issue of sexual violence and harassment against women in America.
We have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it.
I mean, punching at it? You're asked a question about violence and you say you got to punch at it? And then there was this one when he was hanging out in Wisconsin.
And by the way, you know, I should understand. And it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in and pull and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
And I love kids jumping on my lap. Roaches. Pool, rubbing on his legs, and I love kids jumping on my lap. That was all during the campaign. And nobody asked any questions, did they? No, we can't ask questions because this is the guy we got to get in the White House so we get Donald Trump out. And the world is watching, folks. I hope every single one of you will share this with your family and your friends and remind them of how bad it was before he's elected and even compare it to the CNN town hall. Because the rest of the world is looking at us like, what the hell are you guys doing? And this guy's making up crap all over the place. So you get the vaccine, you're not going to go in the ICU. You get the vaccine, you're going to be safe. You get the vaccine, you'll never get infected. All lies. And what'd CNN say on stage? Yep. People on his staff had already been infected with COVID-19. Already been infected after getting the vaccine. But you know what? You get the vaccine, folks, and you're not going to get COVID. You're not going to die. You're not going to go in the hospital. You're not going to get sick. All of it lies, and Don Lemon says, yep. Yep. That's what he said. Joining me now to talk about this is a dear friend of mine. Mark, it's always a pleasure to chat with you, my friend. Congratulations on another number one book. And I think the timing of this book is so important right now. We just played audio this morning of multiple news channels talking about it is a demand that we must make for people to get a vaccine. And if doctors don't get it, fire them. If nurses don't get it, fire them. If school teachers don't get them, fire them. We even heard this morning demands that the White House tell the teachers union that if you don't get vaccinated, you are going to lose your job and will fire everyone. Demanding the private sector do the same thing. Make life. It was said on ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Margaret Hoover actually said it is time to make life impossible for Americans that don't get the vaccine. Your reaction to this happening in the United States of America now?
Well, Ben, first of all, it's always an honor to be with you and to have you on my show. First of all, Margaret Hoover is the great-granddaughter of Herbert Hoover. Did you know that?
Yes.
And these are the kinds of Republicans we're dealing with. Look, you can see the pernicious and insidious nature of this, how government is using the private sector and using its own ubiquitous presence to impose its will. So if you don't bend to that will, whether it's free speech, whether it's freedom of association, whether it is this, now vaccines, they intend to break you. So it's a matter of compelling conformity. And the whole thing is insane. I mean, we have wide open borders. I've been talking about this, particularly last night. people are coming into this country from the third world. They're not vaccinated. They're too poor, and their countries are too poor to vaccinate anybody. They're going to come into this country over the course of a year by the millions. Joe Biden wants them to come into this country by the millions. They're not being tested. It's impossible. They're sneaking into the country, many of them. And there's a massive hike in the COVID-19 presence in these people. Who knows about the various offshoots of this virus, Delta and so forth, and they don't care. And they're moving them into the interior of the country, in states like Tennessee, my state, Virginia, Florida, all over the country. And then they talk about people aren't vaccinated as if they're the enemy, that they're second-class citizens, they should lose their jobs, they shouldn't be able to go into federal buildings. Big private entities are being pressured to punish them, and the borders are wide open to foreigners coming into this country who we know are not vaccinated. So much of this is driven by politics. I think Fauci has been an utter and complete disaster. He's turned into a bit of a quack, if you ask me. He's highly politicized. Joe Biden himself, as you know, and Kamala Harris opposed a vaccine that was developed under a Republican administration, and now they can't push it hard enough. Now, when Donald Trump was president of the United States, every person who died was his responsibility. So the question now is every person who dies Biden's responsibility? Of course not. So we've got a corrupt media. We've got a corrupt administration. We have a totalitarian mindset that attacks so much that is important to a vibrant, free society. And the purpose of my book, even though I don't get into the vaccine aspect of this, is to explain, it's not called Marxism, it's called American Marxism, about how this very diabolical ideology, developed really by a madman, has secreted into our system, has been used by these ideologues to exploit different imperfections or gaps in our society, as every society has them, and then dresses them up as, you know, race theory or climate change or what have you. And so I'm very, very concerned that this is a huge turning point. I've said on the air, we're not looking into the abyss, we're in the abyss. Are we going to climb out of this? And so in a 7-chapter book, my longest book, the first six chapters explain what this is and who's behind it and how it was developed and who are the scholars and what are their writings. And I trace it back in each case so we can then unravel it and then have means to attack it. Because whether you're a military operation, a political campaign, or business competition, you need to know, in this case, what our enemy is, who they are, what they're doing, if you're going to have strategies and tactics to defeat them.
You know, it Marxism, and this is something I've encouraged people, and I think you'll probably agree with this. We have, I think, just almost out of ignorance of studying, as a group of conservatives, have kind of interchanged and intertwined these different meanings of Marxism and socialism and communism. And I said when I was speaking the other day in an event, it's time to stop doing that. There are real differences, and you need to understand the differences so you understand what different players in the Democratic, Socialist, Communist, Marxist Party are advocating for. Because that some of them are not aligned. Some of these things are very different, and some of the people within the Democratic Party are wanting very different things. And that's part of the reason why I think your book is so important right now, is so that people understand, what does it look like in America, specifically Marxism? These are not altogether the same thing. They're very different. Mm-hmm. You need to understand the differences.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not rounding up people and executing them. And so, you know, this is the kind of cheap, moronic comment that I'll hear from the left. I'm not talking about, the book's called American Marxism, not Marxism. But that doesn't deny the fact that these fundamentals are embraced by the Democrat Party, the media, academia. And how do we know? Well, we know what the fundamentals of Marxism are. Oppressor, oppressed, victim, victimizer, class warfare, this sort of thing. You hear this coming out of Biden's mouth every single day. You can see how they want to turn one group of people against another, whether it's age or race or income. This is a Marxist class warfare. You see how they talk about the commune, the greater good, whether it's vaccines or anything else, again, playing down, if not eliminating, individualism, individual liberty. And when people read the book, they'll see that they reject the Declaration of Independence and the idea of unalienable rights. They clearly reject the creator. You remember when Obama used to quote the Declaration, he always ignored the parts about God. Well, there's a reason for that. This is their faith. There's a reason why transgenderism is now a movement. A movement. You know, if somebody is doing something, you know, with their body, that's their deal. But it's a movement now that eight-year-olds in elementary school have to hear about. Well, what's that all about? Well, remember, in the Communist Manifesto, Marxists attacked the nuclear family. And so I quote these people. I quote who they are. I quote their scholars. I quote their icons, most of whom our listeners have never heard of before. It's going on today on our college campuses. It's being pushed by the NEA and the AFT. It's embraced by journalists all over this country. So why should we play games anymore? I know they don't like being called American Marxists. They want to be called social activists, progressives, liberals, democratic socialists. Well, they don't get to push the narrative as far as I'm concerned. If we're going to survive, we better talk about what we're up against. And the first piece of bravery here for all of us is to have the guts to call them what they are. They are American Marxists. They've tailored their ideology to this society. They're trying to make it attractive to people who are down and out, attractive to people who don't take responsibility for themselves, attractive to people who need to belong to revolutions or something exciting. And the people leading these movements are very diabolical.
Well, and not only that, look at what they say and what they do compared to what they actually do in their own lives. A great example, a new report out from Forbes shows that numerous Democratic mayors around the country hired in the tens of millions of dollars private security after their cities cut or proposed cutting police budgets. According to Forbes, 25 major U.S. cities across the country took up the defund the police cause, and mayors in 20 of those cities enjoyed, quote, the personal protection of a dedicated police security detail just for them. The cities where this occurred include some of the cities where the most African Americans, by the way, are dying at the hands of violent criminals: Baltimore, Chicago, Denver, San Diego, San Francisco, New York City. And we're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars. Not just the mayors, but Minneapolis, where this defund the police started, Mark, they spent $63,000 on private security for three different city council members who claimed to, quote, have been subjected to threats when they came out and actually demanded that they abolish the police in Minneapolis.
Well, this is a totalitarian mindset, isn't it? It could be Marxist, fascist, could be democratic socialism and that sort of thing, which is outrageous. And hopefully the people in these communities are going to rise up and vote them out, although I suspect they're not. What I'm talking about in this book is not these one-offs, you know, look at what this mayor is doing, what that mayor is doing. This is much more complicated, what I'm writing about. It's much more difficult. It is the devouring of aspects of the culture by brainwashing, by repetition, demanding conformity, by eliminating academic freedom, by trashing free speech, by canceling people and destroying their careers if they don't abide. And that's why I started this book looking at these things and said, well, what the hell is all this? And it is swirling around, and people are very upset about it. They're frustrated. They don't know what to do about it. So the book is, okay, let's hit the brakes. Let's figure out what this is piece by piece. Let's deconstruct it, reconstruct it, and now let's attack it. So that's the point. Now, these mayors are always corrupt. They're always corrupt. They're one city. They're one party cities. So many of them get indicted for graft and other things. They do not represent the people, and yet they get reelected because they control the media, they control the schools, they oppose school choice, and on and on and on. What I'm trying to address here is that is horrific. Is nationwide, when you look at what's taking place in this country, in our classrooms, on our border, with our economic system, so-called climate change and all the rest of it, what is all of this that they're trying to impose on us, both at the local levels and the national level? We're kind of getting sandwiched in between these ideologies, and we are not prepared to fight it. And so one of the major aspects of this book is to galvanize as many people as possible, to alert them, like Thomas Paine did with the American crisis way back in 1776, and say, this is the situation. This is what's going on. Now, what are we going to do about it? And again, in the last chapter, I talk about many of the things that I think we should do about it.
I want to ask you a question, because there's a lot of Americans that are listening right now I've said it's coming. You can hear the media beating the drum. You can see the White House pushing towards this with their non-answers about non-compliance, as they're now calling it, for people that don't get the vaccine. We are going to see these mask mandates come back. It was clear during that CNN town hall that Joe Biden is just flat out lying to Americans when he said, if you get the vaccine, you won't get COVID. You won't go to the hospital. You won't die. All that is a lie. We know people that are having breakthrough cases even at the White House, and they won't give us those numbers. But how do we stand up and fight back this time? Because if you say I can't go to church this time, I'm now more willing to fight than ever. If you tell me I can't go out and shop, or even at my own restaurant, my own barbecue restaurant, that I got to take out 50% of my tables and lose money every day trying to stay open, there are a lot of Americans right now that have had enough. How do we fight back this time? Because there are people that want to fight back, but they also don't want to go to jail.
Well, then you've asked me a very difficult question, haven't you? You're asking me, how do we fight back but don't go to jail? Now, if we break the law, the potential exists you will go to jail. So that leaves one choice. That is bring lawsuits. And there are organizations around the country that will do that. But that doesn't mean that the judges will be friendly judges. But I don't have any problem with being litigious against tyranny. So I think that's the only other possibility. But as you pose the question, I think it answers the question. People want to protest, but they don't want to go to jail. Okay, but some people are going to throw you in jail. So you're going to have to make a personal decision for yourself. People speak out against stuff, but they don't necessarily want to do stuff. I'm okay. I got it. I got vaccinated. I have a family member who can't get vaccinated because of an illness she has. All the other family members have gotten vaccinated. I haven't pressured them to do anything. But it seems to me then you have a better basis for a lawsuit than anybody else, which is, now, wait a minute. I've been vaccinated. I'm supposed to wear a mask in my house. I can't go to church. I can't do these things. And you'll notice the Supreme Court, with respect to church, has been receptive. Unfortunately, decisions are 5-4, and the Chief Justice goes the wrong way. But Sam Alito's written most of these decisions. When these decisions came out of California because of Newsom, we were winning these cases 5-4. So we do have that going for us, too. So in every instance, Ben, I don't have the perfect answer. You don't. Nobody does.
But is it mass noncompliance? Is that what we organize? Because I don't like to lose, right? I want to win on this one. I felt like I genuinely was trusting of the scientists early on. I watched people's businesses and lives be destroyed that will never come back. We saw people that were committing suicide at rates that were higher than the death rate from COVID because of depression.
All true.
This time around, when I say I'm ready to fight back, there's a lot of people who are saying, how do you do that? Do you just say, all right, we're going to have mass noncompliance?
Well, I don't wear a mask because I'm vaccinated. So I go wherever I want, do whatever I want to do, and nobody's tapped me on the shoulder yet. I suppose that could happen, particularly if the federal government's iron fist comes down. And I think every community is going to have to figure this out for themselves and what they want to do, and every business is going to have to figure out for itself, too. I do think we ought to protest this. You see what they've done in Australia, right? Which is people are going to the streets saying, I don't want to do this anymore.
You notice that in London and in Australia, as you just mentioned, the American media has not been covering, and we're talking massive protests,
well,
hundreds of
American
thousands.
Media. Look, Ben, they're the enemy. I don't expect them to report anything. We, the people, have got to act on our own. Screw the media and the academicians and the rest of them. The fact is, I don't interpret my life or judge my views through them. I despise them. I have a whole chapter on them and why they are the mouthpiece for these movements and why they, if they had been 50% honest, we wouldn't be in the position we're in today. So no, the media is not going to cover this stuff. The Democrat Party is not going to help us. Law enforcement has its hands tied right now. So what are we going to do about this? In my own life, I have vaccinated and I'm not wearing a mask. And if somebody says I have to wear a mask in my own home, that's not going to happen. If they say I have to wear a mask in a restaurant, I'm not going to that restaurant. So, you know, this is the sort of thing. This has to be bottom up. We can't rely on these institutions to tell us the truth, to help us. It's not happening right now. They're collapsing on us. They're using liberty against us. They're using the Constitution against us. So we need to press them. So where we can bring litigation, and there's a lot of groups out there. At the end of the book, I give you links. There's a lot of groups that will bring lawsuits on your behalf, religious cases or other cases. There's a lot of small businesses who have an opportunity to bring lawsuits with other small businesses in civil court. I lay that out at the end of the book and so forth. But I have no expectation that we have some great political savior or the Republican Party or the media is going to suddenly turn around. None of that's going to happen, which is why we're in such a dire position. And answers aren't simple. What has to be understood is what we're up against, how we fight them, use FOIA, use administrative actions, use litigation, use protests, show up at shareholder meetings, do what the left does, and we never do, you know, without the Molotov cocktails. Do what they do. Use the BDS movement against organizations that are throwing in with these movements. Again, I can't get through it all in an interview, but I'm saying there are things that we can do. Now, one of the things we cannot do is rely on the same institutions that are devouring us to suddenly wake up and say, hey, you're right and we're wrong. That is not going to happen.
No doubt. Mark, as a pleasure, always a chat with you, my friend. It's always a pleasure to fill in for you. Thank you for that honor as well. And grab his new book, American Marxism. It is out now. Grab it wherever you get your books or online. It's a number one bestseller. Again, your longest book, 320 pages.
Listen, I want everybody to know what a great guy you are and what a terrific fill-in you are and what a terrific host you are. You just are top of the top shelf, and I want to thank you very much, Ben.
Hey, Mark, thank you, and I appreciate it. We've known each other a long time, and your friendship is one that I treasure in this business, and thank you for all you've done for me as well and just encouraging me and so many others like myself that do this around the country. I'll see you soon, and probably without
a mask.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
As I say each and every day, please make sure that you share this podcast with your family and friends so they can hear what the great one just had to say. And make sure you grab his book. Write us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us grow. And I'll see you back here tomorrow.